It was about joy. It was about looking forward. It was about laughter. And it totally underestimated the fear and anger on the other side.
I hope this win sends a message to young people across the country that our democracy is big enough for them too.
I serve the people of this district first and foremost, but then also we have to be sustainable for that next generation.
To everyone who is watching, do not despair.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBTQ radio magazine. I'm Daniel Wasias. Mali's military junta moves against gay sex, a legal attack on Connecticut's trans athletes resumes, and mourning and making do after disappointing U.S. elections. Those stories and more this week, because you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Sarah Montague.
And I'm Joe Bainline.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBTQ communities around the world for the week ending November 9th, 2024. Mali's ruling military junta is moving to criminalize private consensual adult gay sex. Only one member of the National Transitional Council voted against sending the legislation on to President Assimi Gota for his approval. The junta's Justice and Human Rights Minister, Mamadou Kasso, issued this warning after the October 31st vote. There are provisions in our laws that prohibit homosexuality in Mali. Anyone engaging in this practice, promoting or apologizing for it, will be prosecuted. We will not accept that our customs and values are violated by people from elsewhere. This text will be applied, God willing. Mali is a socially conservative, predominantly Muslim West African nation where Islamic law condemns same-gender sex. The junta has been in power since a coup in 2020. Most Malayan Muslims think of gay sex as a Western import. Activist Naginda Naganga slammed that notion, saying LGBTQ plus people have always existed and they always will. She told the Washington Blade, "It's a human rights issue, and honestly, I have never understood why some are so concerned about others' personal choices and private lives. It's strange." To African rights activist Eugene Joko, the new law is only a distraction. He told the Blade, "According to the minister, anyone who practices, promotes, or glorifies homosexuality will be prosecuted. However, restraining personal liberties is not how you will fix the country's problems." The full text of the same-gender sex ban has not been made public, but it is believed to apply only to men. There has been no hint what the penalty for violating the law might be.
A lawsuit challenging Connecticut's transgender-supportive statutes for school sports will go forward again. U.S. District Court Judge Robert N. Chitigny had initially dismissed the lawsuit after deciding that the plaintiffs did not have legal standing because they were no longer competing in high school sports. The Second U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals disagreed and sent the case back to him. Chitigny bent to the appeals court's opinion on November 5th. The plaintiffs are four cisgender female former high school track and field athletes. They claim that they lost college scholarships and other perks because they had to compete against two transgender female sprinters from 2017 through 2019. They're suing the Connecticut Interscholastic Athletic Conference and five local school boards for unspecified monetary damages. The suit also demands the removal of awards and records of any transgender athletes and re-ranking the results wherever they competed. Finally, the lawsuit demands revocation of the state policy, allowing trans athletes to compete in sports based on their gender identity. Judge Chitigny's 55-page decision noted that there is little guidance on how U.S. courts should deal with the issue of transgender athletes. Title IX of the Education Amendments of 1972 bans discrimination based on sex in any federally funded school program. However, there's no legal consensus about whether sex is the same thing as gender, and protections for trans people rests on that semantic distinction. Chitigny wrote, "This case presents a direct conflict between two interests protected by Title IX, the interest in providing fair competition for biological females, which has long been recognized as a significant governmental interest under Title IX, and the interest in providing transgender girls with opportunities to participate in girls' sports, which is now protected by a Connecticut state statute. The battle lines have been drawn. On the plaintiff's side is the rabidly anti-queer alliance Defending Freedom. Defending the pro-trans policy are the American Civil Liberties Union Foundation and the ACLU Foundation of Connecticut.
Global plane maker Boeing is crashing its diversity, equity, and inclusion programs. Vice President Sarah Ling Bowen is gone, and the rest of her DEI department staff will be integrated into existing human resource teams charged with improving talent and employee experience. Bowen's farewell post on LinkedIn read in part, "It has been the privilege of my lifetime to lead equity, diversity, and inclusion at the Boeing Company these past 5+ years. Our team strived every day to support the evolving brilliance and creativity of our workforce. The team achieved so much, sometimes imperfectly, never easily, and dreamed of doing much more still. All of it has been worth it." With Boeing's decision, far-right social media maven Robbie Starbuck is claiming credit for another U.S. conglomerate abandoning its efforts to promote equitable, diverse, and inclusive workplace environments. Starbuck says that he warned Boeing board chair Steve Mollenkopf weeks ago that he was planning, in his words, to expose their woke policies. Those woke policies had included efforts to recruit employees from a variety of minority groups under former CEO Dave Calhoun. He stepped down in early August due to the corporation's financial troubles. Incoming CEO Kelly Ortberg has vowed to trim staff across the board by at least 10%. Meanwhile, a self-satisfied anti-woke Starbuck declares, "The landscape of corporate America is quickly shifting to sanity and neutrality."
Controversial trans woman dart star Noah Lynn Van Leeuwen is facing three-time champion Michael Van Gerwen as the first round of the Grand Slam of Darts gets underway. She and 20-year-old star Beau Greaves are the only two women in the draw. For Van Leeuwen, the Grand Slam is an arduous warm-up for the Professional Darts Corporation World Championship coming up at North London's Alexandra Palace in December. Van Leeuwen will be the first trans competitor to appear against men in a televised PDC tournament being covered live by Sky Sports. PDC Chief Executive Matthew Porter has staunchly defended her right to compete. He told Sky News, "Noah Lynn's started to achieve more success in recent years, hence the opposition to her has become more vocal, which is the way of the world. Again, it's something we respect, but ultimately we have a policy in place, and it's one that we're comfortable with." To Van Leeuwen, "There's really no difference between men and women in darts." If she defeats Van Gerwen in the first round, Van Leeuwen will face former world number one Gary Anderson and qualifier Ryan Joyce. Knockout rounds for the event, now in progress, start on November 13th. The Grand Slam concludes on November 17th.
Finally, the Mubi streaming service is canceling its international film festival in Istanbul. Organizers said in a Turkish-language Instagram statement that the district governorship of Istanbul was upset by the provocative content of the opening film, Queer. The much-ballyhooed adaptation of the second novel by famed queer writer William S. Burroughs features several steamy and explicit gay sex scenes with Daniel James Bond Craig, Drew Starkey, and Omar Apollo. The Turkish government banned the film on the grounds that it endangers the peace of society. Mubi responded by cancelling the entire festival because it said the ban targeted the very essence and purpose of the event. In the words of the global streaming platform, production company and film distributor, "We believe this ban is an intervention that restricts art and freedom of expression. Festivals are breathtaking spaces where art and cultural diversity are celebrated, bringing people together. This ban takes not just one movie away from the meaning and purpose of the entire festival." Mubi went on to thank all artists, viewers, and supporters who are planning to attend the festival and who we believe are as saddened by this situation as we are for their understanding and solidarity. Mubi is available in over 190 countries on the web and publishes Notebook, a film criticism and news publication. Queer received a 9-minute standing ovation when it premiered at the Venice Film Festival earlier this year. It will hit cinema screens in the US on November 27th and on December 13th in the UK.
That's NewsWrap, global queer news with attitude for the week ending November 9th, 2024. Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
NewsWrap is written by Greg Gordon, edited by Lucia Chappelle, produced by Brian DeChesor, and brought to you by you.
Thank you. Help keep us in ears around the world at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast and much more. For This Way Out, I'm Joe Bainline. Stay healthy.
And I'm Sarah Montague. Stay safe. Our listeners support This Way Out in many ways.
By subscribing to our e-newsletter.
Email us at info@thiswayout.org.
And through your financial contributions to our program.
More information about how you can give is online at thiswayout.org.
Thank you.
The result of the November 5th U.S. elections was a wake-up call for the so-called woke. President-elect Donald Trump's victory in both the Electoral College and the popular vote will be taken as a mandate for the most anti-progressive promises of his campaign. Pundits and activists foresee a repeat Trump administration, free to implement the far-right's Project 2025 vision for the country. A vision that at worst includes mass deportations, the quashing of civil liberties, and potential economic chaos. Yet even though the overall election results spell danger, there are a number of queer bright spots we can report. First, the bad news from our friends Andy Hum and Ann Northrop of Gay USA.
What can you say except that the Trump victory was a victory for misogyny, racism, anti-LGBTQ prejudice, especially transphobia, xenophobia, isolationism, and despoilation of the environment, among other things?
Well, those are certainly the consequences of the victory, but I think the core of the victory was fear and anger, as Claire McCaskill said.
First, I think we have to acknowledge that Donald Trump knows our country better than we do.
Former U.S. Senator and MSNBC political analyst Claire McCaskill.
I think he figured out that anger and, frankly, fear were way more powerful than appealing to people's better angels. Whether you're afraid of immigrants or afraid of people who are trans, he figured that out.
The thing that struck me the day after the election is we all sort of got sucked in by the joy of the Harris campaign. It was the greatest presidential campaign ever run.
It was decent.
And it totally underestimated the fear and anger on the other side, particularly the anger.
Now, I'm not trying to rationalize it or sugarcoat it, but obviously this happens around the world. When people are unhappy, they vote for the other, and it's generally the other guy.
It just reeks of misogyny and racism. I think it was a real, it's always a wake-up call, but we really believed that she had a very good chance of taking this, and that we would take the Senate, and we would take the House, and we would do this and that and the other, because we thought the politics of joy and forward-looking would be the answer. But these people who went the other way, they weren't buying it.
Progressives dodged a political bullet on Election Day when North Carolina voters soundly rejected the GOP's far-right nominee for governor, Mark Robinson, whose term as the state's lieutenant governor runs out in January. I'm David Hunt. Robinson had hoped that an endorsement by Donald Trump, backed up by his own Trump-like rhetoric, would carry him to victory in the southern swing state. The sound bites came fast and furious.
There's no reason anybody anywhere in America should be telling any child about transgenderism, homosexuality, any of that filth. And yes, I called it filth.
We are called, here we're getting ready to get in trouble, called to be led by men.
The Christian patriots of this nation will own this nation and rule this nation.
He said trans people should find a corner outside somewhere to use the bathroom, and called gender studies courses lies from the pit of hell. On Election Day, Democrat Josh Stein, North Carolina's attorney general, won the race handily, garnering more than 3 million votes, nearly 55%. just 40% of voters marked their ballots for Robinson. Whatever the reason, progressives are happy to take the win, hoping the incoming Democratic governor will provide a check on the GOP-dominated legislature that remains hostile to the LGBTQ community. Reporting from Raleigh, North Carolina, for This Way Out, I'm David Hunt.
I will say that the LGBTQ vote NBC News exit poll, Harris led Trump 86-12 among LGBT voters, a 15% improvement on Biden's 2020 performance, although that figure was contested. 8% identified as LGBT, a record high. But again, Republicans spent $215 million on anti-trans ads to win.
All running football
which
games.
Which is a horror. Whatever effect it had, it certainly had a horrible effect on trans people.
And I think it's more upsetting and destructive than just anti-gay ads. I think the trans issue at this point is still deeply upsetting to a great many people. We have not succeeded in educating them or inuring them to this.
But let's talk about the consequences of these Republican advances. The loss of the federal courts for the rest of our lives and
yes,
probably yours. The end of the federal prosecutions of Trump, although he's still going to be sentenced in the November 26th New York State case. The filibuster, which we've hated, becomes of some value to Democrats.
All right, so we don't want them to get rid of it. Right?
Not now. And then anti-LGBTQ amendments. Now, the House has been passing those all along and have been stopped by the Senate, and maybe the filibuster can still stop some of those things. And of course, you're going to have this tremendous growth of the kleptocracy and the corruption.
There was some worry that trans voters would have trouble voting because of new, stricter yes, ID laws across the country in various states.
Yes.
No reports yet on any of that happening.
I am happy I live in this state today because I woke up feeling like myself and my partner are safe. And I think that's true no matter what happens nationally.
Bruce Parker of Rocky Mountain Equality lives in Colorado, one of the three states whose voters repealed antiquated marriage equality bans. Such so-called sleeper laws could come back into force should the right-leaning Supreme Court overturn federal protections. This Way Out's Ava Davis, Michael Taylor Gray, and Melanie Keller have the details.
Question one in Hawaii asked, shall the state constitution be amended to repeal the legislature's authority to reserve marriage to opposite-sex couples? Honolulu's Star Advertiser reports that 52% voted yes.
In Colorado, voters approved Measure J with more than 63%, according to Colorado Public Radio. It removed language in the state constitution that declared, only a union of one man and one woman shall be valid or recognized as a marriage in this state.
And in California, while the final votes are still being counted, Proposition 3 is projected to pass by at least a 60% margin. It removes language in the state constitution defining civil marriage as only between men and women.
Should we talk about what happened with some of the key LGBTQ races?
Yes, because we have good news there. And really, the idea that out trans Sarah McBride, a state senator from Delaware, close to the Biden family, is now going to the U.S. House of Representatives as Delaware's one member of the House is just so delicious.
I know how much this win would have meant to me as a young person, as I faced a crisis of hope and wondered whether the heart of this nation was big enough to love me too.
U.S. Congressmember-elect Sarah McBride.
And I hope this win sends a message to young people across the country that our democracy is big enough for them too, that regardless of the results at the top of the ticket, we all have a place in our country. We all belong. And I hope it shows that nothing is truly impossible.
And Julie Johnson, a Texas state representative, the first openly LGBTQ member of the U.S. Congress from the South. And your pal, our pal, Tammy Baldwin, it looks like held on in Wisconsin.
That was a squeaker.
Three-term Senator Tammy Baldwin.
I travel to red, blue, purple, rural, suburban, urban parts of our state. I listen to people. I really listen to people. And then deliver for them. And in turn, these Wisconsinites showed up for me. And I'm so grateful.
Amy Wichtendahl has made history as the first out trans person elected to the Iowa legislature. She was already a member of the Hiawatha City Council. And Representative Angie Craig remains the first and only out LGBTQ member of Congress from Minnesota.
Obviously, I'm thankful for my supporters out there.
Congressmember Angie Craig.
But I'm really humbled by the voters of the 2nd District, my constituents, who recognize that I've been working on their behalf to do what is right for the 2nd District of Minnesota. And that's my commitment to them, is I will keep doing that. I'll work with anybody to tackle the issues that we have in our community, and that's what I intend to continue to do.
And Lisa Grafstein remains the only out LGBTQ member of the North Carolina Senate. Representative Sharice Davids has won re-election in Kansas. She remains the only openly LGBTQ Native American in Congress.
We're facing attempts to undermine our democracy, attempts that seek to sow division, confusion, and doubt in our democratic process. But here's the thing. We are better than that. Our state is better than that, and our country is better than that. And thank you for giving me the opportunity to continue to do this work for you all. Let's keep it going.
And State Representative Zoe Zephyr in Montana, who had a huge fight with the legislature, got kicked out.
Silenced.
For saying that they had blood on their hands.
Yes.
Got reelected. A new state senator in Georgia. You didn't say his name. Rashawn Kemp, first gay black male in Georgia to join the legislature. And Eric Sorensen, out member of the House of Representatives, is likely reelected from Illinois.
It's about coming together to do what's best for all of us. And I'm so proud to be the good neighbor to represent you in the 119th Congress of the United States of America.
I still have a lot of faith in what is in front of us as this country.
Congressmember Eric Sorensen spoke with WQAD-TV after his victory rally.
And I'm going to do my part. I don't believe it should matter how you voted last night to determine what you deserve to get from your government going forward. Understanding that I serve the people of this district first and foremost, but then also we have to be sustainable for that next generation.
A woman's right to control her own body was on the ballot in 10 U.S. states. Voters approved measures to permanently enshrine that right in 7 of them: Arizona, Colorado, Maryland, Missouri, Montana, Nevada, and New York. New Yorkers went even further with passage of the Equal Rights Amendment. It added age, ethnicity, national origin, disability, sex, sexual orientation, gender identity, gender expression, pregnancy, and pregnancy outcomes to state anti-discrimination laws. Voters in Nebraska and South Dakota broke with the until now 100% passage of protections when the issue has been on a state ballot in the past several months, even in deep red states like Ohio. The Florida initiative required 60% for passage, but it fell short with a bit under 58%. Deputy Director of Rocky Mountain Equality, Bruce Parker, spoke to KGNU in Denver, Boulder, Longmont, Colorado, about the relationship between abortion rights and queer rights.
You know, we got a lot of questions about why we endorsed 79, and people asked, you know, what does abortion have to do with LGBT people? And I think it's just clear that abortion is an LGBT issue, just like racism and just like maternal mortality and just like poverty and just about every other issue. We know that when communities are underserved and underrepresented and targeted by hate, they are affected more by these social issues and realities.
I'm Brian DeShazer for This Way Out.
Former U.S. Senator Claire McCaskill expressed more than mere political analysis in her job at MSNBC.
I'm so proud. I'm so proud of her. As a woman, getting elected DA, it's not easy, guys. And then to be vice president and to step into the most difficult situation in the world, where she had to be completely loyal to Joe Biden. I mean, such political skill, it is just inspiring. People who don't understand what she had to do to get to this moment. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just very proud of her.
To everyone who is watching, do not despair.
U.S. Vice President Kamala Harris conceded the election in a speech at historically black Howard University.
This is not a time to throw up our hands. This is a time to roll up our sleeves. This is a time to organize, to mobilize, and to stay engaged for the sake of freedom and justice and the future that we all know we can build together. And I'll close with this. There's an adage an historian once called a law of history, true of every society across the ages. The adage is, only when it is dark enough can you see the stars. I know many people feel like we are entering a dark time, but for the benefit of us all, I hope that is not the case. But here's the thing, America, if it is, let us fill the sky with the light of a brilliant, brilliant billion of stars. The light of optimism, of faith, of truth, and service. And may that work guide us, even in the face of setbacks, toward the extraordinary promise of the United States of America. I thank you all. May God bless you, and may God bless the United States of America. I thank you all.
And so the hope and cheers of the Harris-Walz campaign are fading into history. Will those once joyful crowds throw up their hands, or will they roll up their sleeves? Will they keep proclaiming the campaign's theme song? Thanks for discovering This Way Out, brought to you by the nonprofit Overnight Productions. News Wrap was reported this week by Sarah Montague and Joe Bainline and produced by Brian DeShazer. This week's U.S. elections coverage was produced by Greg Gordon and Lucia Chappelle, with special thanks to Andy Hum and Ann Northrop at Gay USA TV, and to David Hunt, Ava Davis, Michael Taylor Gray, Melanie Keller, and Brian DeShazer. The Beatles and Beyonce performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks Lee Sloan of Albuquerque, New Mexico, and Richard Merck and Brad Payton of Silicon Valley. Listener donors make this program possible. Ask us about how you can join them. Look for This Way Out Radio on social media. Email us at info@thiswayout.org or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078, USA. For coordinating producer Greg Gordon, associate producer Lucia Chappelle, and all of us at This Way Out, I'm Daniel Macias. Thanks for listening, online at thiswayout.org, or wherever you get your podcasts, and on WHYR, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, CJLY, Sloan Valley, New Denver, Nelson, Crawford Bay, British Columbia, KUR, Kutztown, Pennsylvania, and a wide array of community terrestrial and internet radio stations around the world, including this one. Stay healthy, stay safe, and stay tuned.